The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But it wasn't just a regular decline. There were mental health issues that all of a sudden crept up out of nowhere. And we were like, what is the deal with this thinking? It just was erratic, and both of them were irrational. And we tried to counsel with them from afar, and then we got a phone call that the wife had taken the life of her husband and then her own life.
Jada Edwards reminds us just how dangerous our thoughts can be. The Captive Mind, next.
We're opening the show, but just listen to me. Our little dachshund, she's a little 8-pound dachshund. She just followed me all over the house a while ago. Wherever I go, Betty says, she's following you. She followed me back to the bathroom, to the closet, and the bedroom, and back into the family room. She said, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where am I going? And I found myself saying, Betty, why don't all of us as Christians say, Father, where are you going? Where are you going? I want to go with you. I don't want you to go anywhere without me. That's the way Jesus lived. Only did those things that pleased the Father. I want to welcome you to life today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I just say, welcome to life today. All right. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest. Jada Edwards at the One Community Church in Plano, which is on the northeast side of Dallas, really pretty much straight up 75, headed up north toward Oklahoma, the other promised land. You know, when you get into the real promised land, I'm coming across that river. And Jada is just really gifted to communicate. What a blessing she is. The Captive Mind, evicting old thinking to experience new life. Would you welcome Jada Edwards to life today? Jada, glad to have you.
Thank you.
This is amazing, and you're an amazing communicator. You're talking to people about freedom, mm-hmm. and you're talking about the captive mind, which if our mind is held captive, I've described areas of defeat in my life as like a grip, something, a claw in my brain. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's the way a lot of people
Absolutely.
Feel like they just got something's got a vice grip on
Absolutely.
Their mind?
Absolutely.
And you think that can change?
Absolutely. I think very often we think that our spiritual battle is in our behavior, and it's not. I mean, it's the mastery of the mind, which is why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 that we've got to knock down every lofty argument, every ridiculous opinion that goes against the truth of God, and really arrest our minds. That word captive means to arrest it, yeah. you know, not to try to wean it off gradually, to take hold of it and begin to take the life out of it and add truth to it.
Don't you think most people are held captive by something like I referred to, like a grip of the enemy
sure.
in their mind, and they need to be set free? And isn't there a retraining process that people have to go through, too, that a lot of times people don't see?
It is. I think sometimes that can feel intimidating to do the hard work because we think that everything's going to happen instantaneously. But I think God really calls us to two things. Number one, that's deliverance mm-hmm. through salvation, but then the daily walk. Like, how am I making decisions that then support? That's why Paul says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. This thing is a process. And so what I try to encourage people with is that whatever you're struggling with, just because it doesn't vanish when you pray that prayer or make a commitment to Jesus doesn't mean that he has not empowered you to work the process and add truth and unpack the lies and see really a new way of living.
Well, along with it comes responsibility
yes.
and choices
sure.
that we make.
Sure.
I know that everything that has come about in my life mm-hmm. through deliverance of, mm-hmm. of things in my life, that it has most of the time it's been a process.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for the process because mm-hmm. I've learned so much more than I would if it would just been instant like that,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
I had a real spirit of fear in my life that I all through mm-hmm. my life. And God didn't just he began the process, mm-hmm. but it was over months, mm-hmm. a year or so, you know, because he had so much he wanted to show me.
Right.
To help me grow and to make me strong and to give me that confidence of knowing that God's power was within me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we underestimate what that means to have the power of God in us. Sometimes it can feel like a very distant thing, that God has power and he's out there. But when Jesus raised with all authority and we chose to commit to him, he says, now you have my full power. So don't live powerless. Don't live bound when I've died for your freedom. So there's a power in knowing that when I make the choice, God is enabling me to stick with that choice. I'm not just on my own trying to do good things. I am lining myself up with holiness and righteousness. And when I say yes, even though my yes still falls short, God helps me go the rest of the way. And so I think that's the power of...
Paul talked in Romans 12 about submitting and presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. wholly acceptable unto God, mm-hmm. because of his mercies, because of what he's done. It's our reasonable service. Mm-hmm. And then he said, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be shaped by the world, which most people are. Mm-hmm. Tragically, the spirit of the world is prevailing in too many people's lives rather than the spirit of God, the spirit mm-hmm. of truth and liberty and life. But he said that when you do present your bodies like this, then you can renew your mind. Mm-hmm. Your mind gets renewed. Mm-hmm. That's a process.
Absolutely.
Renewing so that you know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I think that we actually find ourselves sometimes living in his good will, his acceptable will, but wouldn't it be wonderful to live in the perfect will of God?
Sweet spot.
Well, the perfect will of God mm-hmm. is where this mind has become like the mind of Christ. Now, mm-hmm. let's face it. That's a big miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us want that to happen instantly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen necessarily instantly. Mm-hmm. Some things are broken quickly. Mm-hmm. We all want that. But there's something about the process that's important. And mm-hmm. it's the discipling process. The word disciple, discipline. I'm not the most disciplined person in some things. Discipline comes easier for Betty than for me, okay? The deal is that you go through the process, but it's important. And I think what you talk about, in one of the things in the book that I think is really important, that you talk about footholds and strongholds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting approach. Can you explain that to our viewers? Because you do thoroughly in the book.
Sure. I think it speaks to what you're saying about process. And so stronghold is usually when you find yourself deep in addiction. It's the thing that seems to kind of take over your life and has more voice than what God has. But the foothold is like a burglar trying to break into your house and he gets his foot in the door and you're trying to close the door. He's not in yet, but you see that there's maybe some provision for him. And Psalm 1 actually talks us through that. That's why it says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in this way, doesn't sit in this way or stand. He's talking about this progression. And so the foothold is really the thinking, it's the consideration before I even get to the committed action. It's doubt, it's fear, it's insecurity, it's shame, it's all of those things. And the only way we can really begin to battle that is to see the foothold and play it forward and treat it like the stronghold it can become.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be vigilant and diligent, unpacking the lies. I talk about that a little bit. To starve the lies, saturate with truth, and share with community.
Say it again.
Starve the lies in your mind. Mm-hmm. And that is doing the work of unpacking the script of deceit mm-hmm. that the enemy continues to replay in your mind. You're not good enough, or you're too good, because pride can get us. You're entitled. You deserve it. You're unworthy. You're shame. You should be ashamed. You should be afraid. All of these things, and for most of us, it's the same two or three things that just show up in different environments. But you've got to know the script and know your pain. So when he brings it, you can say, I already know what you're going to say, and God has truth for that. Then you saturate, number two, saturate with truth. So I think we get kind of in a bind when we don't do the work of unpacking the lie. We have an infected wound, and we just add truth to it, because we're good churchgoers and we've got Bible plans and devotionals, but we're adding a Band-Aid to an infected wound. You've got to do the work so that you can really feel, understand the healing, and then God's truth. That's why you can read a scripture, and the 800th time you read it, all of a sudden, a light turns on, because God is like, now your heart is actually open and ready to receive this word you may have heard 1,000 times. His truth really is powerful, but we've got to give it room to work.
And His Word comes to us in those moments in our life, in that process, yeah, when we need it. Just like you said, sure, you could have read it many, many times.
Yeah.
But at this moment, mm-hmm, you got it.
All of a sudden. And all it comes in the brokenness.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that I got the best revelation on the mountaintop. I wish it was right after a promotion and right after a victory that I felt a word from the Lord. But it is usually in the desert and in, yeah, the dry place because, why? My heart is the most open. Yeah. I'm broken. I've come to the end of myself. And I'm like, God, just say anything.
Also, with the process, you're building that relationship with God, mm-hmm, which He so desires for,
absolutely,
each and every one of us.
Absolutely.
And I found that to be so true in my life, that, mm-hmm, through the things, the challenges, the disappointments, and the things on my journey that I've had, mm-hmm, I have drawn closer to Him,
mm-hmm,
and come to know Him more in a way that I never knew Him before.
Absolutely. I think there's a comfort that David speaks to in Psalm 23 that you can only get in the valley.
Yeah.
Like, it's because I'm walking in a place that feels like death.
Yeah.
Then you comfort me. Then I can see what it's like, what it means to be near you. And so with taking our thoughts captive, it's the realization that God is working from the inside out. My heart had to choose salvation before my body started acting saved. And so, yeah, nothing is different,
yeah,
in the,
right,
daily walk, you know. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. He gives you the power to do it.
Yes.
He didn't force salvation on you. I had to make a choice to respond, right, to Him. I got to make daily choices to continue to respond to Him so I can live free.
And you don't have to go to church and listen to someone else teach you the things of God, mm-hmm, when we do have a Bible. You know, here's a Bible up here in the New Open Bible. That's in the either New King James or the New American Standard. Here's one we're giving to our viewers who simply give life and love to others. We're sending them the Passion Translation. It's a little bit like the Living, mm-hmm, New Testament and the Living Bible.
Yeah.
It's simply, it would be like what she's just done and what we've kind of been talking scriptures, and then we express a little bit more, expound it and explain it maybe a little more clearly. And what the Passion Translation does is it puts it in what I call passionate communication. In other words, it's like this is being said, but it's like you're sitting there with the one who's speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm,
and they're communicating with passion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about a preacher that preaches with,
absolutely,
passion and belief, mm-hmm, and confidence about, mm-hmm, what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
But each person, this is the thing they've got to understand, if they want the mind renewed, they don't just trot to church every Sunday,
right,
or drop in every now and,
right,
then. You know, some only go Easter. You know, some of you just made your trip. You know, you got Easter, you know. Isn't that a shame? Because every day,
right,
is Resurrection Day if the
every
resurrection
day
is living in you.
Right.
And so you can go to the Word. People need to understand, I can allow God's Word to retrain me. That's what His Word does. It washes us. Mm. We are washed at the water of the Word, and it leads to the renewing,
mm-hmm,
and the literally the transformation of our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to find a shortcut. And running to,
no,
church is not the shortcut.
No.
You tell in your book about a phone call from someone that, mm, kind of set you on a journey. What was, mm-hmm, that? What was it? What did that set off?
Yeah, we had two friends of ours, a married couple. Actually, we knew them before they got married. They married as a church we started before we planted our current church. And they were walking with us in community a little bit. There was always a struggle, always spiritual struggles with
Between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. And we just tried to cover them and walk with them. And they were actually kind of getting on a path that was healthy. And then the husband had a job opportunity out of state. And he asked us about it. And we're not in the business of telling people what to do with their lives. But we said, we really believe this is the enemy creating room for this promotion because you guys cannot afford to not be in community.
Mm-hmm.
It was very desperate situation for them. And so months after they moved, the marriage declined. But it wasn't just a regular decline. There were mental health issues that all of a sudden, mm, crept up out of nowhere. And we were like, what is the deal with this thinking? It just was erratic, and both of them were irrational. And we tried to counsel with them from afar, and then we got a phone call that the wife had taken the life of her husband and then her own life.
Wow.
And that's one of the things you think is only on
TV.
These
are people that you were pouring,
yes,
God's love, yes, and your love into,
yes,
trying to help them because you could see the need.
Yes.
You knew they were moving away from a safe place.
Yes.
Did it even hit you that maybe you weren't convincing enough and somehow you failed? Did the enemy try to heap stuff on you?
We tried to figure out everything. Like, if we could not saved them and they were close to us, what are we doing? And I lost sleep.
We're not
over
very
that.
Effective. Right. You're getting condemned mm-hmm. by the enemy,
right.
the accuser. Mm-hmm.
Right, for someone else's decisions. Yeah. And so, but when you care for people, the enemy will take a good thing and distort it. And so I lost sleep over that. And
sure.
I just was like, God, I need you to tell me how people who know you and love you can get to this place. And that's when he gave me 2 Corinthians 10. He said, Jada, if you ignore the thought, the first idea, the hint, and you allow that thing to take root, then you can easily find yourself in a place like this because you don't wake up in that place. Mm-hmm. We don't wake up overweight. We don't wake up addicted. It's the first craving
that
we don't shut down, and it just continues to build. And so that really spurred on the desire to want to encourage myself and equip other believers with the power that they have if they fight the battle of the mind.
Okay, if someone goes through the book, you've written it, in my opinion, it's broken out very simply, and you talk about the armor we put on, you explain it. So if someone reads the book, what do you see the book leading them to do?
I want the book to bring the realization that they, if they are believers, if they have chosen Jesus as Lord, they already have the power to be different.
Yeah.
They already have it. God doesn't have to drop anything new in them because at salvation, you get full endowment of all the power of the Holy Spirit. And I also want people to understand that you are not powerless in this, that you get to make a decision, that God is gracious and wise. He doesn't force anything on us. And it doesn't matter how much counsel and how many Bible reading plans you have, you have to decide every day to just like going to the gym and eating healthy, making those decisions to sow good seed into your mind, to uproot the lies of the enemy and do battle. Spiritual warfare is not on Sundays. It's not on special occasions. It's not just when you lose a loved one. Spiritual warfare is every single day. And you've got to wake up battle ready.
You appreciate Jada mm-hmm. sharing her heart with us. Mm-hmm. Let me just right now let you know that you can get the book. You can get it online. If they wanted to go to your church website, what would they go to?
They would go to Visit One, and it's spelled out onecc.com. So visitonecc.com.
All right, and we've got it up on the screen where mm-hmm. they can see it, and you could probably tell them how to get the book there.
Yep.
Plus, know what you're doing at the church, mm-hmm. and they can drop in and, mm-hmm. and visit you there
visit.
In Plano,
yeah.
which is northeast Dallas, mostly north, but slightly east. Mm-hmm. Father, I want to pray for everyone you've been speaking to in a very personal way. Lord, because that battle in the mind rages like a fire so often, and you want to calm that storm, and you can. You can bring peace in the mind of every person right now in a battle. If they need someone to pray with them, I pray they call now and let someone just share their concern in Jesus' name. You see the phone number that's there on the screen? That's paid for by love. It's an 800 number. Betty and I don't pay that phone bill. We will get hundreds, even sometimes 2,000 calls in a day, sometimes more, nearly always 1,500 or more a day. You say, James, what are you doing praying with people? You want someone to pray with you? They're glad to do it. Let me tell you something else today. Now, don't miss this. Today, that prayer line that's there for you can become a lifeline. This is the last week now of our emphasis on mission feeding. We emphasize it twice a year. This is the end of the early springtime going into the early summer. This is the end of it. We really need to hear from you. We have had some serious crisis beyond the 400,000 children that we found who are already malnourished. Crisis on the South Sudanese area of South Sudan. Terrible. There's been a horrible cyclone that hit Mozambique, killed thousands of people, destroyed homes, also damaged the food factory that you paid for and built years ago, where most of the food is processed and created. We need some help there. All right, we're praying for a miracle today. Would you be the miracle in someone's life? Listen to me. You can be the answer to a mother's prayer, to family's prayers. You can be a miracle for an entire family, the miracle of life. I want you to watch. You're going to see where a miracle was born in our lives that has already saved nearly 14 million people's lives. Watch closely.
There's a crisis in areas of South Sudan because mothers have no food for their children. Emotions run high among our mission team as these scenes of desperation play out. Isaac Pretorius is motivated more than ever to carry on the fight against starvation on the continent of Africa that his dad, Peter Pretorius, began over 40 years ago.
James, you know, you and Dad, you traveled all over this continent. And God took your heart and my dad's heart and literally knitted them together. You became the best of friends, but more than that, you became the best of servants to this continent. I can tell you this, it makes me recommit my life, recommit my promise that I made to my dad, that we will continue to serve our continent, that we will serve the people of this continent, that we will continue to strive for what was his dream and is mine. And that is that no child go to bed hungry. The situation here at the moment is desperate. It really is at a crisis level. We've been into villages here where mothers have told us how their children have died because they've literally starved to death. So I'm asking you, please, James, from the bottom of my heart, speak to the viewers. Ask them to do whatever it is that they can do. Appeal to them, James, because we need your help today. And I know that you know that they're the true heroes, the ones that make it possible for us to be here, the ones that make it possible for us to save lives are the true heroes. But without them, another child dies today because we didn't get there in time. Please, James, do whatever you can do, because this is about life and death.
Isaac Pretorius was talking about his dad and really us coming together more than 30 years ago. Now you see Isaac there because Peter went to be with the Lord last year. He had death-defying faith. If you haven't read that book, you ought to get it. Powerful. But Betty, we didn't know if our viewers would help feed the hungry people Peter took and showed us. We saw children die while we were standing there in that first place that you saw the two of us when I had black hair. It was a life-changing experience, because then we came to you and we said, would you help them stay? Peter said to us when we said, maybe we should come over here and just stay here and help. He said, no, please don't. Go home and ask the people to help us, so we can be effective and not be empty-handed. And we didn't know if you'd help. But you saved the lives of nearly 14 million people, according to the reports of the African countries and the missionary overseers. You did that because you didn't just turn away. You reached out in love. Betty, these people gave. There is the son of Peter Pretorius, and there that tall, black-headed young man, that's our grandson. He was there just before his little baby girl's first birthday. But he's been several times because the mission field is on his heart. Now listen to me, it's on God's heart. You have been miracle workers. Here's what I'm asking you to do. We need your help to feed 400,000 children right now that we have located. But now the South Sudanese crisis, the parents are being killed. The tension is horrible. Don't even want to get into all the division and dissension of that country, because a lot of it goes back to twisted religious beliefs, where they're killing infidels or killing someone they disagree with. It's that awful. But we can save their lives. We've got a $270,000 need right now. Literally, the United Nations, UNICEF said to these missionary workers, they're so full of love, said, you'll go in, take this food. We don't have anyone else that can deliver it. You'll do it because of love. And our grandson said when we prayed with them, they started crying because they could see the love. Papa, but we got to have transportation. We got to have more relief workers. We got to bring them in, and we need the help. And then, Betty, we had the terrible cyclone, hurricane, hit Mozambique and damaged the food factory. We had these emergencies come up like this. So what I'm telling you, we've been letting you know that $270,000 miracle, in addition to feeding 400,000, could come with 270 people giving $1,000. Well, we've also got the damage to the food factory. Listen, these are natural disasters that can only be addressed with love. Betty, it'd be one of the 500 people would say, we'll send 1,000. God, would you please raise them up? Somebody say, I've got it. Yes. But now please listen to me. Most of the need is met by people giving to feed 3 children, 5 children, or 10. Think about what I'm about to say. $30, $50, $100. We can feed 3, 5 or 10 children for the next months. Where could you better put that? Father, please help everyone watching to reach out and touch someone with love today. In Jesus' name. Would you get your bank card, please, and use it like a check? If you write a check, make it to Life, because you're giving life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or go online or call and say, here's my gift, and put it on that card today. We have some gifts to send you to bless you in your spiritual growth and your walk. Thank you so much for giving life. Thanks for taking the time to share because you care.
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death. With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Please consider an extra gift to help ease the suffering of innocent families who, due to tribal warfare, have had to flee their homes in South Sudan to neighboring Uganda in desperate search of food. World Food representatives have asked for our immediate assistance. That's why an additional $270,000 is urgently needed to help provide food to those who are starving. With your gift, we'll send you the James Code by O.S. Hawkins. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Passion Translation Bible. This edition ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I'm just thanking God for those of you who will express God's love. We are sending the Passion Translation New Testament. It's just fabulous. It really is. And I'm praying many of you will give the $100 to, you know, to be able to give life to 10 children. If you would like to have the captive mind that Jade has talked about, really inspirational and really it's instructive in the Word. And you say, James, would you mind sending us that gift? Because I think it could really help us. Glad to do it. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to Jada for being a blessing to us? Jada, God bless you. And bless the church. Bless all you do for God's glory. Thank you so much for watching. We really do appreciate you tuning in and touching others as well.
Felt like that I was dying, and Debbie and I actually said our goodbyes.
Robert Morris, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.